Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
This week we have Jason Vandenberg is going to be speaking, so if you could welcome him as he comes up to the stage.
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight? Good, good. Love being here with you guys. If you guys can open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to be doing verse 17 through the end. With tonight that there's, we're going to be taking communion. Just so you guys know, and because this is going to be on communion. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do tonight. So tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but before we get into the scripture, let's pray once again. Father, tonight, as we take a look at your word, and God, I thank you, it's your word. Lord, it's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And Father, as tonight we take a moment and we remember you, Lord, remember you, Jesus. Who you are and what you've done and the price you paid. Oh Lord, it's just so good to always be focused on and remember you. Lord, you're what it's all about. And so Lord, bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was thinking about calling it tonight's message a bad celebration or a bad meal or something gone bad. Either one. But There's a couple stories that was sort of illustrated. When I lived in Hungary, that there was a couple that was there named George and Itzu that they're now leading, and George has been now pastoring the church in Hungary. I was there with a guy named Phil Metzger back in 1990, about 99 to 01. Well, during that time, George and Itzu, they are Hungarian by heritage, but they lived and grew up in Serbia because of the wars and the changing of borders. Well, they ended up getting their, through all the paperwork, their nationality back to being Hungarian again. And so they have a official ceremony that they have with, you know, when you're becoming a Hungarian citizen. So the mayor of the town would, you know, she was wearing this official thing on that she had, and it was this celebration. And we were there, and at the very end of this, it was very customary to have a bottle of champagne being opened. And so the mayor handed George, or Judy is his real name, but we just call him George, handed him a bottle of champagne. He's like, okay. So he was, you know, like with the cork, and he twisted the cork, and the cork ended up shooting off like a bullet into the sky. And they have high ceilings there, and it ended up hitting the ceiling, and the plaster and the paint ended up cracking and falling down upon him and the mayor right after he became a citizen. And I'm sitting there, and I'm next to Phil, and I turned to Phil. I said, I don't know, can they take that back, like his citizenship? Like, because the look on the mayor's face was not a happy one, let me put it that way. And we sort of, you know, it was a celebration, and something sort of went wrong with that celebration. It's sort of the text that we're going to be getting into tonight. It's sort of a celebration gone bad. It's also a meal gone bad. I remember, oh man, have you ever had a bad meal? Just, oh yeah. Anyway, don't want to go down that road, but I remember I took a flight from LA to London when I was living overseas, and I got food poisoning on that 11-hour flight. And that was just horrible. It was like a meal gone bad. Like, if you ever, you know that, when you're locked on a plane, that is just not bad, not good. But there's also another thing that I want to say before we get into this is, have you ever seen somebody do something that wasn't smart? You know, you're just like, that just wasn't smart. I was just reading about something actually that where a guy, it says it was a bad week for when this thief in India got caught carrying a gold chain that he stole, and to hide the evidence in front of the police, he ended up swallowing the gold chain. Yeah, it's like, okay, not a brilliant idea. Well, the police in India forced him to eat a ton of bananas and, you know, and all that stuff. But not a smart thing. Now, this last one, I could not help but share this one. This last week, it was bad for a guy in Portland, Oregon. He ended up going into a store and stealing a 2-foot-long python. And how he stole it was, he went to the pet store and he stole it by stuffing it down his pants. Quote, by the manager said, quote, he's lucky it wasn't feeding day. So, and it was like feeding on those Mondays and whatever. But there you see, people do things that are, for one, a celebration gone bad, a meal gone bad, and something that wasn't smart. And all three of those things we find in this passage. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, it says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you. For since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, for those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others. And one is hungry, and the other is drunk. What? I think this was the original what. You ever get those where they go, what? Well, Paul started this. This was the original what right here. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For indeed I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when it was given, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. They took a beautiful, meaningful meal. As you guys know, that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that we see communion in all four of those gospels. And this was such a powerful meal. It was the meal of the Passover. And I can get into the Old Testament symbolism of the Passover. It was beautiful, where they would take the young lamb and it would live in their house, become personal to them, and they would have to kill that young lamb and take the blood and sprinkle it on the lintels and the doorposts to ended up symbolizing a cross. And because of that, the angel of death would pass over. If that blood was on the doorpost, the angel of death would pass over, and thus we get the word Passover, would pass over that house and not kill the firstborn son. During that meal, Jesus redefined that when he took the bread and he broke it, and he took the cup, and he says, hey, this is my broken body for you. and he passed it out to his disciples, and he took the cup at the end of the meal, and he passed it out to them. And it was a beautiful meal. And actually, this was, and they actually ended up going along the church in that vein, because when Jesus sat down with disciples, it was a meal. It wasn't what we're doing tonight. It was a full-blown meal that you would have. And the church would have these, what they call love feasts, where they would get together and what we would call it sort of like a modern-day potluck. I mean, who doesn't like a potluck? I always dig potlucks, by the way. I don't know. I can go on about food all night long, but me and my family. But it was just, you know, when you get to a potluck, you never know what's there, man. People are bringing different dishes, and it's so cool. But I always love potlucks because it's just a time when people get together. And I always love seeing people get together in unity, especially within the body of Christ, where we eat together, we share, we hang out, we talk. And that's why I love this Bible study and what God's doing here in this Bible study on Sunday nights, because we get to sit down and talk, and really that time of even meet and greet in the middle, it's just really get to talk and sit down and get to know one another and hang out, where we really, be, Lord willing, become a family. But they ended up going wrong. And the problem was that what was meant to be this beautiful meal ended up going wrong. And the number one thing that, in ways that it went wrong, was that it, number one, caused division, that there was factions among them. You see, the church in Corinth had problems with division. Even in the first chapter where it says they were having divisions with different people. Well, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Christ, and I'm of this guy, and I'm of that guy. And it's sad to me when I think that there's divisions in the body of Christ where there needs not be divisions. And there's factions where there's needs not to be factions. And this was there were people were bringing food, and some people were just piling on their plate and doing this in, number two, actually in selfishness. But I think sometimes even all these things sometimes can meld together, the division and the selfishness and these things, because it really breaks my heart when you start seeing divisions in the body of Christ that need not to be there. Where Christ and his Spirit, just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, so God wants the body of Christ for us to be one, and that for us to not make up or put up any barriers between, even in the countries that I lived in, to see even racial barriers that were up in those countries, and the way they would talk about other people and other ethnicities and stuff. But how it was a beautiful thing when they came to Christ, how those walls came down, and the body of Christ was such a beautiful thing with different ethnicities together being one, and that being a really radical witness to the world and saying, you guys like each other. You know, and then people are like, yeah, you know, and it's just a testimony of Jesus Christ. But there was divisions among them that ought not to be there. The second thing we see in this chapter, there was the selfishness, that there was people that were piling on the plates and just piling it so high. And then the people in the back of the line, they were not getting anything at all. They weren't thinking of other people. It all goes back to the greatest commandment that Jesus gave is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving one another. But when people are selfish and they just take and it's about them, that's not loving one another. That's loving yourself. that's not doing that. And there was selfishness that was going on at that time. And number three, we see in this passage that people were even getting drunk. Now, obviously, tonight, we don't have to worry about that. This little cup of grape juice, zero alcohol in it, by the way. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But back then, they would use wine just as much as you would see Jesus in the New Testament drinking wine, and they would have wine at the Passover meal. Now, obviously, this was taken in excess. And to maybe step back, last week, I had to sort of bring in some of the culture of Corinth into play with all the head coverings. This week, also, if you bring into the cultural aspect of Corinth, where it was picturing like Las Vegas on steroids. I know that's hard to picture, but you know, it was bad in Corinth. It was a very licentious lifestyle in Corinth, and they worshiped their gods with a lot of drunken parties. and all the stuff that goes along with that. And so, but during the love feast that they would have, when they were coming out of these other religions where they would celebrate through drunken parties, and this invading and this tainting and polluting this beautiful picture of Christ's body being broken and his blood being shed and them getting drunk and causing divisions. And so these things, now, though they had it, it was very clear that Paul says in Ephesians that it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So those were the abuses that were going on with communion. And it's interesting in this passage that it's actually affected people even physically. In verse 30, it says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many, if even, and many asleep or have died, as some translations say. It's very fascinating to me that Paul says that even this abuse of communion even translated into physical infirmities for people. But the problem in Corinth, and I hope you know, is any church perfect? No. That with what goes on, but it doesn't excuse corrections that need to happen within the church. And just as much as here, when there's abuses of the Lord's Supper, that there needs to be corrections in this. And that it just took this beautiful picture, and really this picture of communion that we're going to be celebrating tonight is really what the whole Bible centers on. When we talk about how the Old Testament prophecies, even from when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, the prophecy that happened where about Jesus Christ and how that the serpent would bruise his heel, but how the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was going to come and crush the serpent's head. From the very beginning, it was pointing to this central event of God himself becoming a human being, taking infinite steps down for every single one of us and living in a human body like us, yet being sinless and perfect. And he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. I love that verse. He who knew no sin, he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, all the Old Testament was pointing to the Messiah, to this time of the Messiah's death and resurrection, his first coming and his second coming, but this central event of him paying the price. And the thing that gets me, obviously, about all of it, is the willingness. God was so willing because of his great love for every single one of us, that he gave his cheek to the smiters. He volunteered his back to those that would take that whip of nine tails and ripped it open. He willingly laid down his arms and allowed those spikes to go through the wrists and through the feet. I don't think that those Roman soldiers ever found such a willing person in their entire life that ever existed, because he willingly did that for every single one of us purposefully. That he took the weight of all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our guilt, and through his sacrificial death for every single one of us, he gave us life. Through his stripes, we are healed. It's amazing. It's this the great exchange that happened to anybody who wants to receive this free gift that was not free. Free to us, but cost him everything. I, like Paul, am still just stand amazed at the infinite steps that he took. It's Philippians 2, when Paul was talking about how he says that it was not robbery for him to be equal with God, but he became of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. And through that, paying the price and dying like a criminal. Man, and I sometimes wonder, if we were in God's shoes, would we have done the same thing? Would we have gone and take infinite steps down for just a part of the creation responding? But he did that all for us, that we might know him. And obviously in this passage, there's three things that I think that as we remember, we should remember, is to number one, to look back. To look back at what Jesus has done. And remember that and focus on that. You know, one of my friends that I taught Bible college with over in Hungary, he stayed with us for a while. He's now doing the Bible Institute New Zealand, and he's originally from England. And I don't know if you know people from England, but they're very, sometimes can be very straightforward, honest, sincere, you know, and, sincere, that's a good word for it, but just, you know, and he goes, you know, you're Jason, you're the most simplest teacher I know. I'm like, thank you, Mark, really appreciate that, you know, right back at, you know, and, but, you know, he goes, no, seriously, he says, because you never forget the main point, and it's true that we need to always keep the main thing, always, and the main thing is Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. As we read about in the New Testament, how the church in the book of Acts, it was about just letting people know about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that though we have fallen and fallen short, and that the wages of sin, of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's for all who believe. It doesn't matter. Every single person has worth, has value, because it was the blood of Christ, the infinite, valuable blood of Christ shed for every single person. And so as we do, we should look back. The second one, that we look forward. Because it says here, it says that we would proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We would also look forward. Look forward to when he comes again, that he is going to come back again. I hope in our modern church that we haven't lost that message and that hope that's in front of us, that by any day, any revival and any work of the Spirit, there is an expectation and a hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at any time, for him to come back to rule and to reign, for him that we might be united once again together with him. And it says, in 1 John 3:3, it says, he who has this hope within himself purifies himself just as he is pure. When we realize Jesus can come back at any time, it makes us pure, where we realize today might be the day. And it helps us also to keep our focus on redeeming the time. Sometimes it's easy for us to project in the future. Oh, I'm young. I got 50 more years or 60 more years or whatever. Or maybe you're older and you're saying, I have maybe 10 or 20 more years. I don't know what you project in your future, but the future is guaranteed to none of us, really. Not with the promise of his coming on the table. Because when we really realize that the Lord can come back at any time, that it's in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that hope, as we look forward to that, would purify us. But also, thirdly, that we would look within. And that's what Paul was saying here. And that's what I want to sort of wrap up with tonight, is that we would also take a look within. Because it says that Paul was telling them that they were, in verse 27, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. I don't think Paul was there to discourage anybody, but to think twice before you do, because you know you don't want to do it in an unworthy manner. So what do you mean by an unworthy manner? The unworthy manner was what we saw in Corinth with the divisions and the selfishness and the drunkenness and those things. And if you're living in sin tonight, and you're and you're sort of saying, you know what, I'm not gonna repent, I'm not gonna turn, then for your sake, please don't. Because here it says that you're gonna be actually drinking judgment upon yourselves, and you don't wanna do that. But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that he here tonight, if you are here tonight and you're living in sin, and even as I'm talking right now, there's maybe things that you need to know that you need to let go of, that you need to turn from, that you need to deal with. The Lord knows. But if there is things that he is, Paul says, let him examine himself. I think of Psalm 139 with that, the prayer of David. He says, search me, O God. You know my thoughts. Try me, know my thoughts, that if there be any wickedness in me, lead me in the way everlasting. It's not a matter of beating yourself up, but it's a matter of letting go of your sin and receiving the grace of God and the love of God, to the forgiveness by his blood to cleanse you from all sin and to set you free, because that's really what he wants to do. He wants to set us all free and have us to live in that freedom that he has for us, freedom from sin, to walk and enjoy and to rejoice in his grace, in his love, in his mercy, and to really experience that for all of us, that we might live a life of joy in expectation of his coming. But to look within and take a look within. And I needed, and when I was even preparing for the study tonight, I was just, you just take a deep breath and like, Lord, if there be anything in me. But, and obviously it doesn't even need to happen at church. As these things, as our days go on, our weeks go on, may we be quick to repent and to turn. May we not, because as I've personally rejected the conviction of the Lord, my heart grows harder and harder. The more I reject, the more I push it off, the more I blow it off. Oh, whatever, tomorrow. Don't push it off to tomorrow. Don't say mañana. No. Today is the day. Tonight is the night where we confess. But we also, maybe you're not in a place of living in sin. Hey, rejoice. Receive it with joy. Enjoy. Remember. Because that's what he really wants us to do, is to remember what he's done for all of us. And that would be our center in that sense. That would be our focus, realizing that it's Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection for us. Because so often I can get down so many different rabbit holes and different thinking, and the Lord brings me back and says, hey, I love you. I love you, not for what you're gonna do, or not for what you're doing, or not the ministry that you've done, or whatever, all these different things that are going on. I just love you for who you, and you just honestly, and you just receive that, and to enjoy that, and realize that he wants to completely cleanse us from all our sin. If there's sin that needs to be confessed, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the best godly shower you can ever have. It's the cleansing of the blood of Christ just washing over your soul. And so, as we take a moment, God wants us to be one with him and one with one another. So, pray with me, please. Father, tonight, as we're going to remember you tonight, Lord, with communion. And so, Lord, tonight, as we take a look, Father, may you take a deep look within us. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in us. God, remove the flesh, those things, those selfish desires, those things that need to be put to death. God, we want to be crucified with you, that it's no longer us who lives, but it's Christ who lives in us. And the life we now live in these bodies, we live by faith in you that loves us and gave himself for us. God, we want to walk with you. We want to walk with you in that freedom, free from our sin, free from the power of that sin. And God, thank you that it's by your stripes we are healed and we can receive that healing tonight. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's sin that needs to be confessed, or maybe there's just thanks that needs to be given, take this time right now between you and God. Take this time in prayer and confess whatever it is that needs to be confessed. But if you're here tonight and you haven't received the gift of Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, the gift of salvation, the gift of everlasting life, tonight's your night. And Jesus is offering and saying how much he loves you, and he wants you to come, and he wants to forgive you of all of your sin. If you want to receive that gift of Jesus Christ into your life, just raise your hand. This is between you and the Lord. Just raise your hand up and say, yes, I want to receive that. God bless you guys in the back. He just wants to set you free from your sin. So take that moment, take this moment as Jake sort of strums. We're going to take like 30 seconds or a minute or so. Just talk with the Lord. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And that's what it is right now. Now, tonight, on your own, just take the cup and take the bread. And on your own, just thank the Lord. Because that's what actually when it says this, when it says that word of communion, that is the Eucharist. It says giving thanks. And that's what we're going to do. Take the bread and take the cup on your own and just tell the Lord just how thankful you are and remember him. That's what he wants. He says, just remember me. And so do that on your own as we enter into this time of worship. But before you guys get up, let's just pray for that communion. Father, I thank you so much for your broken body and the blood that was shed for all of us. God, as we take this communion, God, we remember you, Lord, and we're so thankful. God, we receive your love and your grace and your forgiveness tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.